Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Da har nok... Eller, vent, sa du nei? Du vet at Fiken også gjør det enkelt å starte din egen bedrift. Fiken. Superenkelt regnskap. Ja, og hjelp til å starte egen bedrift, da.
Halv pris på Domino's pizza? Ja, i morgen er det Crazy Tuesday og halv pris på alle medium pizza hos Domino's.
Det stemmer. Halv pris på pizza hver tirsdag.
Bestill på dominos.no eller i appen.
Crazy Tuesday hver tirsdag hos Domino's.
Velkommen til Engler og hormoner. Inspirasjon og ny kunnskap om helse, selvutvikling og livsstil.
Hei, kjære lyttere. Hjertelig velkommen til en ny episode med Engler og hormoner. I dag så vi så heldige å ha med oss Claudia Menger I studio, og resten av samtalen vår kommer til å være på engelsk. Tema for ukens episode keiserinnen, når en fødsel skjer gjennom magen.
Og Claudia, most welcome to you.
Thank you.
You have been creating so much around cesarean and the women that are giving birth through the belly. Mm. And how did it come to that? What is the reason why you dived into this specific area?
Because that is how I birthed my two babies. And that is how I never expected to birth my babies. Mm. And coming from a first birth that I was totally gonna do vaginally, I thought, having no idea about how to even birth differently than through our vaginas, that left me completely shocked, having to birth my firstborn through my belly. So that turned out to be quite a traumatic first birthing experience. And then being sent home, having no idea what to do. I think it started there, where I was like, wait, I am not the only one birthing this way. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about this.
Yeah, because actually it's around 16% of all the births in Norway are cesarean or belly births, and more than that, in the some countries in the world, is the percentage is up towards 50% to 70%. Starting to talk about this is one important thing, but then your background, Claudia, where do you come from and what have you infused of your background into the conversation about belly birthing?
Yes, so I am a yoga teacher focusing on yoga for fertility, pregnancy, postpartum. So I'm not a medical expert, but I like to think that I know yoga. So I decided to use the tools of yoga to help myself heal both physically and emotionally. And then trying to, in a safe way, pass that on to my students too. And I was very scared of that in the beginning because I was very worried about the idea of promoting cesarean births, because that would be the opposite of what I want. I wish everyone could birth through their vaginas. So I was very hesitant about that in the beginning, but especially now my second cesarean birth about a year ago has left me feeling really empowered and knowing that this work is actually really needed. Because like you say, there's about 16% of people here in Norway that birth this way. So every group of pregnant women I have, most likely one or two in that group of pregnancy yoga women are going to birth through their bellies. Every postpartum or every bustle yoga group I have, there's one or two or maybe more that have birthed that way. So I cannot not talk about that anymore. Mm.
And there are different kind of cesarean sections as well. Was your first one more like of an emergency
C-section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was me having prepared, I thought, for a very mindful, beautiful birth. And then after a day or three of very strong contractions, very intense birthing experience or labor experience, ending up in a situation where it was very close for him that he wouldn't make it. Mm. And there was a point, and that was much more or much earlier before day three, that I knew that it wasn't going to happen. But that was something that I was, one, not able to express, and that, two, wasn't followed or listened or believed by the medical, by the people in the hospital. And so that left me both feeling incredibly guilty because I wasn't able to voice what I thought was going to happen. Mm. And then, two, extremely traumatized because I was suddenly being cut open. I almost lost my child. I didn't see him for the first few hours after birth. That was a very different start than what I had imagined. Lifting a baby out of myself onto my chest was how I pictured birthing. Mm-hmm. And this was very different mm-hmm. from that.
And there's also C-sections that are more planned. Your second birth wasn't that planned, but it was, as you said, a really, yeah, option.
Yes. Mm. Oh, totally. So when I got pregnant again with my daughter, I knew it was an option. Like, I really wanted a vaginal birth, and I worked really hard on preparing for that. I invited in a doula, Ragnhild, very early on in the process, and we'd been focusing on preparing for a vaginal birth. But there was also the option or the scenario that it would be not a vaginal birth. And whereas normally when I'm very focused on something, that would be my direction, I'm going to go from point A to point B, that would be my focus. And here I suddenly had to focus on two different scenarios. Also, because for a very long time, she was transverse in my belly. So she was laying horizontally in my belly, which is not an option mm-hmm. to birth vaginally if your baby's in that position. So while really dreaming up this vaginal birth, I was also prepared to maybe end up with another cesarean. And just to have that approach to, it can go both ways, and both ways are fine. And me knowing that both ways are fine really comes from the idea of that I had to convince myself that a belly birth is birth. It's not that I didn't birth my firstborn. I did birth my firstborn too. It was not someone who took him out and birthed him for me. Yes, it was a surgery, but I really believe that I gave birth. And going into my second birth really was so much better than, or just because of that was so much better. And there was this point during this birth that I knew that she wasn't going to come out. We were in the tub. The warm water didn't give any relief. The pain I felt from contractions was really my bones. There was nothing other happening than that. Mm-hmm. So I knew, and I was much more able this time to voice that to the people in the room. Also because I had a doula with me. Me and my man had practiced this a lot. And I guess part of me was in a way, quote unquote, lucky because I had already had a cesarean birth. So at some point, and this was still after many hours, I think after an hour or 15 or so, we realized that this wasn't going to happen the way I imagined. Mm-hmm. And it was another cesarean. But this was not a life or death situation. This was me not being completely exhausted yet. This was a joyful experience. Mm-hmm. I remember everything. I was very present. And what made it very different this time was that I had wishes related to a cesarean. So it was, for example, very important to me that I could have her on my chest right after she was born, that they could do delayed cord clamping. So they would wait a little bit with cutting her cord, just like they would do with a vaginal birth. And what I think changed a lot, or was very different compared to the first birth, was that I could stay with her in post-operation. Mm. So where people are normally or most often separated, like the birthing person would be sleeping and the child would be with the birthing partner. we stay together because that's what I really wanted.
Mm.
And we had a separate room. This was very possible. I think we often think that things aren't possible at a hospital, but there was a room right there and we were together.
Mm.
And I think that made things so much easier to not be separated, to be able to breastfeed her right away, to just be together after birth.
Yeah. And in Norwegian, we call it mor barnvennlig standard,
yeah,
which all of the hospitals are really like working to give to the birthing women, both through cesarean and vaginal births, having like the skin to skin for 2 hours after giving birth, even if it's through your belly or your vagina.
Super important. So important.
Mm, so there you have like explained the differences when it's about possible life or death and giving like more of the planned ones.
Mm. Mm? Yeah.
So what kind of advice do you have for our pregnant ladies listening to this, having a prepared C-section?
Yeah, so what I, for example, do now when I work with pregnant people in my yoga classes is that, one, I encourage everyone to add cesarean-related wishes to their birth letter, so to their further brev, so that even if it's not going to be a cesarean, it still gives them maybe 5 or 10 minutes that they have to think about this scenario. So it's not really sending out to the universe that you're going to have a cesarean birth. Not at all. This is just you coming to that point of, okay, if this is going to happen, I want it this and this way. So that is one of the things that I think is really important to do with any pregnant person. And then if you're going to have an actual scheduled cesarean for whatever reason, there's suddenly a lot that is possible, because then you have an actual time slot that you'll be in the operating room. You can play music. The lights can be dimmed. People can be behind your back when they put in the catheter for your urine. There's so much more possible than we think there is. But for me, the most important things were to be very close to my baby right after birth. And we often think they need to be taken away to be checked, but they don't have to do that after a normal vaginal birth either. So why not?
Mm. Mm.
And what about the time it takes for the baby to come out, like actually belly birthing, like giving some time for the baby to work its way out? Do you have an experience to share about that?
Yeah, so with my first, because it was, he had to get out, basically. So they just had to do that really quickly. But with my second, it was a much more gentler process. Mm-hmm. Like, you're still in an operating theater in a hospital where they work with time and money. But the difference between pulling a baby out and gently letting a baby, in a way, be born is very different and might only take 1 or 2 minutes more, but makes all the difference, I think.
And some people will be conscious about the bacteria and what the baby is exposed to through a vaginal birth. Taking measures to actually add on some for the immune system early on. Did you practice this?
We didn't do that this time, also because I was quite far in labor and I'd opened up quite a bit. So we had and my water had been broken. So she'd been exposed to a bit of bacteria through that. But I also know from people who would just have like a napkin in their vulva and then have that being smeared on or like put on the baby's face after birth. Super beautiful.
But there are also like different ways of stitching up the C-section if it's an emergency and maybe it's done in the delivery room and not in the operating theater. So where you can use like stitches or the suture the thread.
Yes. I don't know so much about that, but what I do know from my personal experience, and that is just me, that if everything has to be done so fast in an emergency situation, so that also means that the cut is made really fast, it's very different to heal from that than from a mindfully slow, more precise way of cutting and then also of stitching up, I guess.
Yeah.
If there's just more time.
So I learned from the gynecologist in our lunchroom earlier today that they use like the stitches, the stiftene. When it's more likely that there might be an infection if they didn't have the time to,
Interesting.
So like in preparing the incision, so it could be more bacteria present.
Yes.
Yeah. There are so many considerations to take. And in the matter of life and death situation, of course, we're so grateful that we have... our amazing colleagues that saves lives.
Oh, totally. Totally.
So do you have any more thoughts on how to prepare for birth, including a belly birth, Claudia?
My most important thing is just to not do what I did and skip every chapter about cesareans when you read birth prep books or when you prepare for birth. And I also think that a good birth prep course should include this scenario.
Yeah.
If you are preparing for a major life change like this, and just simply looking at the stats, it might be possible. So you might as well read a little bit about it.
So going back to your first pregnancy, say that you would come to me for preparation for birth. How do you think yourself would have reacted if I brought up cesarean as an option?
It's so interesting because this is the reason why I skipped all of that. I was like, that's not going to be me. I'm like, I'm going to birth through my vagina. This is what I prepared for. This is what I can do. I was convinced.
Yeah. And I think also as a health practitioner, I'm often very conscious of honoring the mom's wish and be like, following the lead towards a planned birth. But I think here is maybe somewhere I need to toughen up a bit and be able to speak the words to give the woman the option to actually prepare.
It's a little bit easier maybe for me because I can say, you know, because I was that person. So I can just use myself as an example.
I think this is something to think about for everyone that works within women's health and pregnancy care. So the baby's born and you are there in the hospital. What are your thoughts on how to care for yourself or ask for care in the first, you know, moments and hours and days postpartum?
It's very interesting because I didn't have much space to even think about that after my first birth because I was just in shock. But now last year when my second was born that way, I had much more space because I was clear in my head. I wasn't traumatized. I even joked to my husband. I was like, I don't think I'm traumatized this time. But it gave me so much space to consider and to feel through what I could then start doing. And the most important thing for me was to connect to my breath right away. It was just to find slow breathing patterns that helped me kind of ground while I was there, to calm down my nervous system after birth, because no matter how it happens, birth is a very intense event. So to ground myself, and also what that really helped me do was to work with the gas that starts forming after a cesarean birth, because I didn't have that at all with my firstborn, but apparently it's really common to get gas pains after a cesarean. And while all that gas was building up in my body and starting to feel really, really uncomfortable, and all that the doctors or the nurses would say, like, you have to walk. And you've just had major abdominal surgery, and then you need to walk. And I get it. It's amazing for circulation. But it's also really hard and really painful to walk. So even going to the bathroom was quite an undertaking to do that after an operation like that. So I figured I had to find other ways to get that circulation going to get rid of all that gas. That was not just walking, because I couldn't really walk other than going to the bathroom. So I would just gently breathe. I would imagine my breath being really slow and letting it travel as deep as I could and as slow as I could, and really focusing on getting all the air out of my lungs on the exhale. So I would make lots of space for a new inhale and just to be there, to be present. And then while I was there, I would gently circle my ankles or maybe wiggle my toes or rolling my wrists so that I could also find other ways to get that circulation going that wasn't walking, mm-hmm. because I couldn't really walk yet.
In the planning of this episode, we asked our followers if they had any questions. And just about this, there has been a question, a woman that asked, how can you get access to the breath when, as she describes it, the front line of my body feels 20 centimeters shorter than the back line and difficult to find space. Do you have any like advice or positions or anything that could help the woman to find her breath postpartum?
I think one would be to be in a supported position. So we don't need to be sitting straight up, like prop yourself up with pillows so that you can at least be as comfortable as possible so that as many of your muscles can relax while you are sitting or laying down. That already creates a lot of softening, I think, around the chest, around the belly, so that you can already breathe a little bit easier. And then also start easy. Don't beat yourself up. Like when I talk about finding that deep breath, that might take a little bit of time. Start slow and as shallow as you are in the beginning, fine. And then deepen from there. Because if we start being unkind to ourselves right away, we start to clench everywhere. We start to clench our jaw. That's not helpful for us either. So start very gentle. Find that connection. And from there, it will flow. Or maybe sigh a little louder.
And it's just about that pumping mechanism of changing the pressure within the body by breathing is also increasing the circulation, which is so crucial. And another question we actually got in is how to increase the circulation. And you just gave some beautiful advice on that. So if I would say that elevating your feet as well could be helpful, would you say with your experience that would be okay post-cesarean?
Yes, totally. Yeah. And especially with anything soft. At least all I wanted was soft. So pillows everywhere and have yourself be propped up. But also what for me gave a lot of comfort and what I know also helps with circulation and also helps with getting rid of all that gas that might build up is warm things. So warm tea, warm foods, fiber foods, just to help things flow again.
Yeah, all about the flow.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. There is also like an increased risk of blood clots. So that's also why the circulation is really important, as well as for the gas that you're mentioning is building up. So when we are doing a C-section, there is cut through so many layers of skin, connective tissue, muscles, and so on, even the uterus as well, and to get the baby out. And then we come home. Maybe it's a bit scary to touch the area where the C-section has is or the scar is.
Yeah.
So how should we move on and get in contact? You have started talking about the breath. What about touching the area, soft and gentle?
I had no idea what to do. When you go home from the hospital, I think you know very little. I didn't even know when to take the Band-Aid off, what would happen with the stitches. I had no idea. But once you get to that point where that Band-Aid is not there anymore and when the stitches start disappearing, the word I suddenly heard a lot was scar massage. So now you have to massage your scar. But there's a scar on your belly where before there was no scar. It's a quite big scar. It's about 10 centimeters or maybe even bigger. So it's often also one that you don't want it to be there. So before I think we can even do scar massage, we need something else, I think. Scar massage is the next step. We might start with just looking at ourselves in the mirror and to get familiar with that kind of quote-unquote new part of our body, just to look at it. Or maybe once you start to feel a little bit more into wanting to touch or getting ready to touch it, maybe start with a napkin or a Q-tip, just a stroke over the area just to feel into the sensations. Maybe there's no sensations at all because it's numb. Or maybe it's still painful, just to get a little bit more familiar with that. And then maybe scar massage could be a next step once, of course, the wound is healed. And maybe you start massaging the area around it first before you actually get into the scar. And what I would always recommend is to see people like you, because most people have no idea how to massage a scar. I had no idea. I was on YouTube looking this up, but then I actually felt much more comfortable going to Muna and having someone
looking at it. And support you doing it.
Yes.
And I think many women will acknowledge and have had the experience that it's difficult to actually even look at the scar. And this is one of the things that we are should do, because we have to follow with, like, is there any infection? Is it pain? Is it closing up properly? So it's very important, actually, that we do follow up with looking at the incision, and then building into this scar tissue, the remodeling of this scar tissue that goes on for months, up to a year, with the building up of this tissue, learning how to massage and work with this area yourself is really, really helpful for the connecting. But there seems to be, in a way, a bit lucky if you know that you can do it, because a lot of people will not have the knowledge or even get the information that you can actually do some of these things yourself. And I just want to say that you do not need to go and see someone like me or Ingvild. There are also now really good resources online that could explain to you a bit about how to do this yourself if you live somewhere or don't have access to someone that knows how to do this work. So we will definitely link a couple of resources on our Instagram page this week, so you can get an idea about what to do yourself. So, but then
what about, like, the mind-body connection? Like, as you said, it might be a trauma, a traumatic experience for the women. And also, like, in that, taking the this part of the body back and be kind
totally.
To it.
I found that mirror meditation, or like simply looking at yourself in the mirror and actually setting a timer, helps so much, and is really difficult in the beginning. But I think this is something for everyone postpartum that can be so helpful, because your body is very different from what it was before pregnancy. And even just to sit down or stand in the mirror for a couple of minutes, which is long, to do that and look at yourself and do that a couple of days in a row, then shifts start to happen already, where you start to look at yourself with more love, with more appreciation. And there's a few steps we need to go through, like from acceptance to love is still, that's still a little bit of a way to go. But the simple act of looking at yourself in a mirror can be so powerful. But then I also believe that if a birth was traumatic, we often need professional help. And for me, that took a long time to find it. I was supported by the health session, but they were also a bit like, oh, at some point, we don't really know what to do with this anymore. And then I was very grateful, but it took about 1.5 years until I found her, that I found Helena Haberstahl here in Oslo. And she works with somatic experiencing, which was a wonderful way to to heal from that birth, to explore what actually happened, not just through talking, but through feeling, which is a very effective way of working for trauma. So there's a lot we can do ourselves, but I'm also very pro getting in all the help that with the things we cannot do ourselves, because it's a lot.
Both physical and emotional.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, but what about the pelvic floor when giving birth through the belly?
Yeah, from one thing to another.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of people would think that, talking about trauma then, that the pelvic floor are less traumatized after giving a belly birth. But actually, it's easy to oversee some of the common complaints that could affect women post-cesarean. What is your experience, Claudia, with accessing the pelvic floor after cesarean?
And so I hear a lot when we do postnatal yoga, I hear this a lot when people are like, oh no, I had a cesarean birth, so I don't need to strengthen my pelvic floor, or I don't need to work with my pelvic floor. But then there's, I think, a couple of things, and maybe you guys know that much better than I do. But one, they have been pregnant. So there's been a lot of weight on the pelvic floor for quite a few months already. So the pelvic floor is affected. And then there's still a birth still happened. A baby was there before and now the baby's not there anymore. And the pelvic floor might either be very loose. There might be a lot of tightness if it was more of a traumatic experience. I certainly had that. And so I definitely had to work on my pelvic floor through breathing, through connecting with my jaw, inviting and softening into my jaw, through certain yoga poses that really helped me find that relaxation. So maybe I didn't have to work so much on strengthening, but maybe more through finding ways to relax, that I could get that connection back.
So I can't really explain or have any research behind what I'm saying now, but this is just my experience, is that in different women that I met throughout the years, having an incident somewhat traumatic or even painful can disconnect you from the pelvic floor and actually activating it. So I've had the opportunity to see this in women after they've been experienced, for example, severe back pain. And within a quite short amount of time, just actually lacking the ability to use your pelvic floor correctly. And I think this is such a game changer if we know that many things can change quite quickly in this area too. And of course, like you say, Claudia, the amount of weight and the carrying of the uterus and all it contains, it is quite hard for the pelvic, it's hard work for the pelvic floor.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So I think we could see many different presentations of the pelvic floor after a belly birth, just as we can see after a vaginal delivery.
Exactly. Yes.
So, and then pelvic floor is a part of our core muscles. So in this instance, we are even more challenged in the belly part of the core muscles. And there, there is also this connect between how we use our breath and our tummy muscles and our pelvic floor. And we got this question from a listener that asked whether to bind up this area to support it. So moving on to that, Claudia, what are your thoughts about giving the support by binding up the belly?
I think this answer has many layers, because there's, on the one hand, belly binding is a very traditional practice in some countries, so it can be a very healing way to feel supported. But what I have been kind of landing on, and this is me coming from my yoga perspective, but that it feels like we are tightening ourselves up, making it harder for us to breathe, to expand our bellies on an inhale, and to then let all the air carefully, slowly, gently flow out. It makes that process harder. And that must affect our internal processes too. Normally on an inhale where we get to expand our lungs, our diaphragm can move down, the organs in our belly can move down, our pelvic floor can move down, and then the opposite movement happening on the exhale. We have less space to do that while our bellies are with a belly binder. And then also, I think what I find a little bit sad is that the focus with belly binding products has been so much on getting a slimmer waistline. And I find that really sad. Mm. If we focus on that so early after birth, I think that that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen at all. But that just breaks my heart that we put that pressure on people to get a slimmer waist after birth.
Mm-hmm. I'm just also thinking about supporting something with binding something up or wearing a brace or whatever your choice is actually taking away some of the natural movement of the muscle itself. Yeah. And could leave you weaker.
Exactly.
Because you don't get the activation of the muscles to use them like in every day.
Yes. And there's a time for everything. Like the beginning of our postpartum, what I believe is rest. And then after that, when our muscles are, or when we are getting a little bit more ready to move again, then we can get that natural activation from our muscles again. They will support us. Mm-hmm. But we should allow ourselves time. And I think that is what we're often not so used to anymore. Mm. That we want a quick fix for something.
Yeah. And also, actually, we're putting more strain on the pelvic floor. So
yes.
If we do have a dysfunction down there, it could increase potentially the symptoms.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we have talked a little bit about rest and finding good positions to rest in. What are your favorite positions to find rest?
Oh, rest. One of my favorite topics, and I think, or I have this desire that we would all in general rest a little more, but especially after birth when we are often so eager to get back to moving or to quote unquote, get back into shape or to bounce back, which I'm really not interested in. But if we can allow ourselves to be supported, to be propped up with as many pillows as we have, especially after having had an operation, what a C-section is, you need support and you need to rest because otherwise you cannot heal if you are not resting. So as many pillows as possible, prop yourself up, maybe be on your back, but a little bit elevated or on your side if that is possible. But that's often quite painful on the sides of the scar or on the sides of the incision. But support, and then rest as much as you can.
Yeah. And doing like the nursing also in a good resting position.
Supported. And I have my friend Kelsey, who is a postpartum expert, and she has this quote, I think, saying 5 days in the bed, 5 days on the bed, and 5 days around the bed or something. And I think this makes so much sense, like really tucked in under the duvet, under the covers for those first days. And then maybe you're sitting a little bit more onto the bed, and then maybe you stay close to the bed after. But no hikes just yet. Just take it slow.
Don't hike home from the hospital.
No.
So, because that's quite interesting in knowing where to pace your activity, because I know we had a chat with Kelsey before, and I also got this comment back that, you know, this could never work for me, because if I were to stay still for that long, I would go crazy. Yeah. I need to get out. So of course there are different needs here as well. I think you so beautifully say about the supported positions. And I think one thing is supporting the incision area as well. If you have the cough or when you're going to the toilet, like because that's something different than belly binding, is actually using maybe a pillow to just support the area as well directly.
Super important.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like you say, when you cough or when you sneeze, just even to hold that area makes such a difference.
Yeah. So, but what about when you get back into movement? Should you be like within your pain threshold? Should you try to push it? Like, where do we start moving, and what is the signals we should listen to?
So I like to use the tools I have of yoga, and which is a very gentle yoga practice that I have. And fortunately, here in Norway, we have often access to Bushel yoga classes, either online or in the town or the city where you live. And I think that's often a very wonderful start. But even regular movement, what, for example, often happens in a yoga class is that we at some point do cat-cow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're on all fours and we arch our spine on the inhale, and on the exhale we'll round. But even that, what you think might be simple movement of arching and rounding the spine, can be really hard, especially in the arching when you've had an incision in your belly and everything is just a little bit tighter. I was incredibly surprised that I couldn't really arch my spine in the beginning when I just started moving. And so be very mindful of that. I am not interested in going anywhere near pain, actually. I think pain is a very valid signal from our body to say that, no, this is not okay right now. So that just might need a little bit more time.
Feeling a little bit of a stretch or feeling that something is happening.
Yes.
That might be a good place to...
Yes, a sensation, but not a pain. No.
And I think we can also sometimes mix up our nervous system a little bit, because if we wait too long and are afraid of movement, then maybe these signals are exaggerated and maybe they're holding us back as well. Yeah. So I think it depends a bit on how long ago is it since you belly birthed.
Yes. And we often say here in, for example, in yoga, like, come back maybe after your 6-week checkup, and maybe if you've birthed through your belly, maybe wait another 2 weeks or so, but come do something. Like, you can still roll your shoulders. You can still work on your neck. You can still do other things with your body that can be incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
After a night of maybe not so good sleep, or after carrying your baby a lot, which isn't great for your posture anyway. Yeah. So you can do things.
Mm. But doing like the preparations in pregnancy, doing the soft movement in the bed, at the hospital, starting with your breath, connecting to that area of your body, and slowly increase the mobility at what pace feels good for you.
Yes.
So just to give like these women really good support. Is that like the summary of this this episode, Claudia?
I think especially when it comes to movement. And then for the emotional healing, I think everyone has a different path. For some, it is enough to process on their own. For some, it's better to get help.
Get help, yeah.
And there's, for a lot of people, I think there's shame. And I wish that we would see more and realize more that, you know, no matter how you birth it, you birth it.
Yeah.
And even though your friends birthed it in a different way than you did, you birthed it and you're a freaking rock star and you should be proud of yourself. And for the rest, rest.
For the rest, rest.
For the rest, rest.
I love it. You're giving us a gift of guided meditation that your listeners can find in the next episode, because we wanted to do it like really easily accessible to you. But for this now, Claudia, some people might have questions. Maybe they do want to explore your practices. Where can our listeners find you?
So the easiest way to find me would be on Instagram, I guess, claudia.menger on Instagram. And there you will find a link also to a short online program that I have created that includes both movement practices and meditations and rest practices, inquiry and processing practices that you can just practice in any order you'd like, any pace you'd like from your home.
And then you do have classes every week here in Oslo too. But I think just looking you up on Instagram, you'll get access to where is Claudia now. Yes.
But now you're headed for a month. So they will not find you like physically here in Oslo for the next 4 months?
Not right now. I'm going on a little camper van trip with my family for the next few months.
So I think that's a good enough reason to just go follow to see what your adventures will be like.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia. Thank you for sharing from your experience. And thank you for visiting us and giving us a resting meditation. Yeah.